Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the amazing Unleash Your Vision workshop. Discover what lights you up in life and business and dissolve the blocks that stand in your way. I'm Brita Aragon, and I am your host for this incredible workshop that I'm so excited about it. I've been working on it for a little bit, and it's been so inspired, so God-given, so I'm so moved by what we're going to cover today, and I want to welcome you all. And it's exciting that you're all here. I know a lot of you are listening to this workshop as a recording. So just to give you a little bit of housekeeping on what we're going to be doing here, it is a three-hour workshop. It is an experiential workshop. So what that means is that we are going to be working through this. It'll be a working call. If you are listening to this recording, you are going to be able to stop it if you can. Don't let the three-hour process derail the fact that you can take action on this. Do it in one-hour bite sizes, but get it done, right? Like, give yourself permission to break it down so you get this content. But if you can carve out the 3 hours, go ahead. And what's exciting about what we're going to talk about today is that you're going to walk away with some actual results. Your life will be changed after these 3 hours. I promise you this. And we are going to just some housekeeping. Make sure you have some water. Make sure you have a snack beside you. If you don't have that right now, go ahead and get that. Know that we will have some breaks. So there will be some timed breaks in between. A lot of the exercises that we're doing will be timed as well. I will be running the show here, and just make sure that there's no distractions and that you stay open. You really stay open to receive what is going to be delivered to you today, because you're here for the right reasons. You're listening to this workshop because you're meant to hear the information. And so we're going to move through this incredible workshop. And if you're excited, write in the chat box what it is that your intention is. And if you're listening to the recording, let's just take a minute and just set an intention of what it is that you want to discover or what you want to let go of. Aw, so excited. Woohoo! On the comment box. So bring that intention forward. And it's interesting, as we're recording this, it's 11:11. And y'all probably listening here, you know what 11:11 is about. It's that manifesting time. So get that intention, repeat it to yourself. You've got on the chat box here, my intention is to let go of fear and get clear. Yes. Beautiful. Write your intention down. And then I'm just going to open up by sharing with you guys a little bit about why we're doing this workshop together, why you're here in this space with me. And for those of you that don't know me, I'm Brita Aragon, and I am the founder of CD Skin Labs and Detox Your Life, Inc. And I've had a vision to write a book, and I've had a vision to have a skincare line in my early 20s. I put it up in my vision board, not knowing anything. I was living with my parents. I was living paycheck to paycheck. I knew I had something big inside of me. I didn't know how I was going to go and make that happen, but I knew it was big. And I kept sabotaging myself through different ways, self-destructive behaviors, through addiction and through being distracted and perfectionism and procrastination. But the one thing I did is I placed the fact that I wanted to write a book and that I was going to do a skincare line on a vision board. And I had it in my room at my parents' home. And in my 30s, I wrote a book. I didn't know about what when I knew I was going to write a book. It was about cancer. And I created a whole skincare line to honor my father's legacy, which now I got partners in, and it's going global. And then I had a dream and I put it on a vision board again. And I didn't know how it was going to happen. I didn't know if it was possible, but that dream was to go travel the world. And soon enough, when I turned 40, I went to go travel the world. And I went to go travel the world and created a second business where I made $200,000 in that year. That was another dream and vision I had, is to not be taken care of by anybody financially and just on my own. I'd always been taken care of by dad and by my ex-husband, and to stand on my own 2 feet and create something big. And I'm in that vision now. So I am here to share with you, it is my mission to stand for people, to teach them how to think bigger, how to dream big, and how to learn the skills that it takes to really learn and create the life that you want. So I am excited to be here with you. And one of the things that I want to start telling you about in this workshop is I want to start discussing why people don't have visions and why people don't have a why. And at the end, just like I mentioned, at the end of the day, you guys, a vision and a why is a skill. That's all visioning and learning how to live through your vision, with your vision, intimately being one with your vision and having a why. It's learning how to vision and learning how to extract the why, which is what we're going to be doing here today. And, you know, if you don't have a big vision right now and you don't have a why, or you think you do, but you just, it kind of, you've always put it on the shelf. It's like, yeah, that's what I want to do with my life. I love what's on the chat box. So amazing. I want to travel the world. I want to write a book. What's stopping me? We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that today. And so the world, you guys, what the world's been doing is it wants you to not think long term. It wants you stuck in instant gratification, right? It wants you to stay confused. It wants you to stay with, what do I need to do right now? How do I feel good? And now instant gratification is not to be confused with being present, right? Being present is very different than instant gratification. But short-term thinking is where society has trained all of us. If you think about it, every product is about lose weight in 10 days, or how to find a man and marry in 30 days, and how to, you know, get energy in an hour, and how to change your whole life in 24 hours. And it's all about instant gratification. And so we have been trained to stay in this short-term thinking of, what do I need today to feel good? Okay. And so there was an awesome Harvard study that showed that the longer your long-term your thinking is, the more successful that you are going to be. And the shorter term that it is, the more likely you will be in failing in your goals and your vision. So I just want to mention this ahead of time, just to start to get, this is not about judging where we're at. This is not about beating ourselves up. This is not about, oh my God, I've wasted so much time in my life. I could have had a vision when I was 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. No, this is about, you're here because you're here to finally learn how to do this and how to break free from just living in the present and not having something to really pull you forward. And so the study with Harvard is the fact that people that are really successful and people that are achieving stuff in life, and that they're really living their dreams and living that, you know, they set forth to say, I want to do this, and they actually achieve it, is because they have been taught how to start thinking long term, right? They know what comes next. They have a vision that runs their day-to-day decisions, right? They make these decisions in alignment. Like when things come up, they don't just say, oh, well, it made me feel good. Or they look at the outfit and, you know, go shopping and they think, oh, you know, that'll make me feel good today, so I'm going to just drop $2,000 on that. They start to think, what's my long-term goal? What's my vision? Where do I want to be? And does buying this align with where I'm going? So that's what I'm here about you know, to really talk about today. It's like, what is it that's in alignment? And do you know what's in alignment with your vision? So, on the other hand, this is an area where I have a lot of expertise, right? It's people that are stuck. It's then people that have that hopeless look in their eyes, right? It's like I've talked to so many of them, so many thousands and thousands of people, and it's like where life is just passing time, you know, it's like just there's no joy, there's no aspiration, and usually those are the people that don't have a vision. You know, and in fact, many of them don't even really have goals. It's all about how do you just survive today? How do you just get enough sleep so that tomorrow you can focus on what's there? So a lot of people today are totally operating out of survival. And so it's very clear when I speak to a lot of you with your visions and when we, you know, do a lot of our retreats or we're interviewing people to come into our Detox to Destiny programs, it's we really get to see where you are and the mindset. And that's the first thing I look at is where has this person been trained? Is it this person been trained to think small, to just really think about surviving and just about gathering enough? Just make enough money to pay my bills? Or is this person maybe stuck, but they have this big vision and they've got and they've learned to think big and dream big? And, you know, you guys may see this when you go back to your hometowns, maybe. Some of you may go back and everybody's just doing the same old thing, right? Like nothing has changed, right? So, and that may be where you are today if you're here. And that is perfectly okay. That's actually why you are here, right? So you have a vision and we are just going to now bring it out and remove everything that's clouding it. So when you have a vision and you think long term, you are actually also able to handle short term pain a lot easier. So if people, if you're listening and there's catastrophic things happening in your life where they're not catastrophic, but all of a sudden they feel like the intensity of the challenge feels so big, it's an indication that there's not a long term vision in place in the forefront of your mindset. Because short-term pain, you'll be able to dissolve that very easy when you have a vision. You know this too shall pass. The vision becomes like a protective-like mindset. And so it's an excellent way to start also dealing with challenges a lot easier. And again, instead of thinking of what feels good today, we want to start thinking about what will feel good at the end of the year, right? What's going to feel good at the end of 5 years? What's going to feel good in 10 years? We are not taught to think this way, you guys. We are taught to think about today. So where do we need to take you today as a starting point to start to see where God wants to take you in a year or 5 years or 10 years, right? So some of you may think that doing a vision, you know, I know I used to kind of think this, is that it also may be a silly exercise. It's like, because at the end of the day, if we get radically, radically honest, what we really think is, why do I even want to make a vision when it's impossible to accomplish those things anyway? Raise your hand if this is you. I mean, just really sit with this for a sec. Like, if you're really believing on some level, like, it's just a waste of time anyway because I'm not going to even accomplish what I think I want to do. That is one of the most biggest, but then also one of the most common blocks is I won't start anyway because I'm not even going to achieve it, so why do it? Right? So it's one of the things. So we don't believe we can even have what we dream of or what we desire. And we think it's really not ours to have. It's the other person's. You know, we think that we're not worthy, we're not deserving. And that vision is really deserved by those few who were born with the vision thinking and manifesting gene, right? Like the silver spoon, like they were born into the right family, they know the right people, they have the money, and I don't. And so I'm here to say that that's all bullshit. Because visioning is just a skill. Manifesting is just a skill. Believing you can have what you desire is just a skill. And it's a choice. And it's a lifestyle. And it's a way of thinking. And it's a decision, right? And so today I'm going to walk you through so many of the things. First, we're going to extract your vision, but I'm also going to walk you through how to start to believe that you can have that today. So again, if you have desires, I also want to bring up that they're desires that have been placed in you by God. Those are the same dreams that the universe has for you. They're not meant to be birthed by other people. If they're in you, they're meant to be birthed by you. So just going into really how much of a disservice we are doing to the world when we're totally living in lack and we're totally believing in that we don't think we can do this or that we don't deserve it or that we're not entitled to make the money we're worthy of. Instead, we undercharge, we overdo, we overgive, and it leaves us totally dry, it leaves us totally exhausted, and that's a disservice to the world because we're not living in the abundant dreams that were meant for us. Every single one of you guys has a specific dream, gift, passion. So one of the things that I wanted to share as an example of why I believe flying first class is always a good idea, because everyone is defined by one thing, and that's by the way they think and what they believe about themselves. Period, end of story. I don't care where you've come from. And I remember once hearing someone say that flying first class is a great investment. The first investment is in yourself. You always want to invest in yourself, in your growth, in thinking bigger. And the second investment is in flying first class. Why? Because the people that think differently, that think big, that are accomplished, that are creating, they're always sitting at the front of the bus. And the people that are sitting on the back of the bus are always the people that are thinking instant gratification, day to day, living paycheck to paycheck. So in life, it is about your circle of influence. It is about who you know. The moment you start thinking differently, you're going to start attracting those people that think differently. And so ever since I started taking this piece of advice of flying first class, it's interesting, the people, I always sit beside people that are creating incredible things. I sat beside a jeweler in New York City, and he was dating a restaurateur that opened restaurants for all of the Europe and the Western United States. And then I sat beside a developer, and then I sat beside a jet broker. And I want to tell you about the conversation I had with this jet broker. The minute I sat beside him on my way back from New Zealand, the first thing he said to me is like, hey, so what excites you about life? That's the kind of conversation that you're going to have when you start sitting around people that have visions, that think big, that dream big, that are achieving their goals and their dreams. And they have just become disciplined to start understanding how to create that life. And they've become disciplined at following winning habits and winning rituals. So this conversation started with what excites me about life, and I was like, incredible. And then he went on to ask me, what's my 10-year vision and my 5-year vision? How many of you have sat on a plane and had someone ask you, what's your 10-year vision? And usually, I'm not saying that all the time, there's people that circumstances happen in life where you fly in coach, and then circumstances happen in life where you fly in first class because someone gifted you. So I'm not saying it's all the time. But for the most part, what I'm trying to illustrate is that there's ways of thinking. That's what defines somebody about what they get to have. Like Oprah said, you don't have in this life what you want. You have on this life what you have the courage to have, to go after, to decide that it's yours. That's what you're going to get in life. So another reason why having a big vision is so important is because it's naturally going to start to neutralize the need to stay in the past and in your addictions and your fears. If you don't have a strong and a big enough vision, you will continue to go back to old ways and old habits. They will continue to pull you when your past calls you. If you don't have a compelling enough vision, you will pick up the phone. It's just the way it is. We are not meant to stay, you know, stagnant. We're either moving forward towards our vision or we're going backwards towards our past and the regrets and the fears and the limiting beliefs. So think about it. If you've got a big enough vision and you just broke up with somebody, a girlfriend or boyfriend, or you left an old job that wasn't really a job that you feel excited about, if you don't have a big enough vision and an old boyfriend or an old girlfriend that's full of drama and just not good for you calls, when you're so intimate with a big vision, you're going to be like, no way, that's my past. That doesn't fit into my future anymore. Where I'm going, that's not in alignment. And it's not good, bad, right, wrong, where they are. It's just no longer in alignment. But if you don't have a vision, you're going to start to think, oh God, the best is already past. Where am I going? What am I doing with my life? That may be the best I will ever get. So you pick up the phone and you'll do that with the job. You'll do that with old situations, old people, old habits, all of that. So it starts to naturally dissolve fears and it starts to keep you in a place where you're really vibrating in a high frequency, right? And getting, the last point I'll make about this is that getting intimate with your vision is exactly how you start to feel safe to take a leap and take a step into it. Because think about it, when you don't feel safe to do something, it's because it's not familiar. So why do people go back to old relationships? Let's talk about what we're talking about, going to the past when the old boyfriend calls or the old job that you know you were miserable in. Why do you go back to those things? Because they're familiar. And we are wired as human beings to fear change. And if something is unfamiliar, it'll feel scary. But the moment something starts to feel familiar, it becomes safe, right? So the way to start feeling safe in your vision is to start learning how to get intimate with it every single day. Right? When things are foreign, you feel unsafe. So this is a huge secret. This is probably a big aha for a lot of people, right? So, all right. So I want to just take a deep breath in and, oh, I love what you're saying, Deb, here. I can feel my thinking changing already. Total aha. Yeah. I mean, look at how simple that is, you guys. If you're scared of something, it's just because it's unfamiliar. If you don't feel safe being who you are, if you don't feel safe stepping out into being seen and starting a new business, if you don't feel safe living, thinking big, it's just because it's unfamiliar. So what's the answer? Become familiar with it every day. Build rituals and habits that get you familiar with what did you feel unsafe in, period, end of story, right? So I just want to take 5 minutes to clear everything in your energy field right now and in your thinking so that you can be open, because we're going to go right, dive right into visioning. So take a deep breath in. Exhale. And another deep breath in. And as you inhale light and positivity. And as you exhale, just exhale old ideas and fears. Inhale again from your belly. Inhale possibility and vision. And exhale the fog and the lies. And inhale love and light. And exhale stress and limitation. And inhale possibility and expansion. And exhale small thinking. And with your eyes closed, I just want to bring the presence of light and love to this space as we're going to spend the next 2.5 hours together visioning. I ask all beings of light, God and the angels, to lift the veils of illusions that want to keep us vague, unclear, indecisive, and confused. Dissolve any fog, any veils, any limiting beliefs that are no longer serving at this time. To lift the veils of illusion, of delusion, and of fear. To dissolve the stories any generational curses, ancestral patterns, or deep-rooted fears. We put them in the center. Where there's white light that's transmuting anything that is of low frequency. Help us to open our hearts, to open our minds, to all the wisdom that we're about to extract. Give us the strength to stay present, to build the trust muscles, and help us access that place in us that deeply knows the truth, that trusts that everything is available to us. Help us access those places in us that we stuffed our dreams so deeply, our callings, our purpose, our gifts, our talents, our passions. Take a deep breath in. Exhale. And help us to stay connected and present and get excited about what's possible for us. Help us to see this as fun and easy. Help us to connect with the truth of who we are. And as we go throughout this workshop, continue to lift anything that is getting in the way. And fill us up with love and light and keep this space clean, clear, divine, full of white light, wisdom, love, expansion, possibility, joy, excitement, fun. And breathe in all of the goodness. Exhale anything that doesn't belong in this space. Put your hands to prayer. And once again, bring forth your intention for today. And we'll seal that intention with a white light. Take a deep breath in. Exhale. Beautiful. When you're ready, open your eyes. All right. Notice what's different. Feel the presence that you're feeling. Beautiful. All right. Okay, I'm going to switch gears a little bit and we're going to get started into visioning. So this is about extracting and getting really clear on your vision and your why. And we're going to do this on an experiential exercise here. And I'm going to explain to you how we're going to do this. I'm going to set a timer for 15 minutes. And in these 15 minutes, we are going to go and I'm going to ask you some questions and make sure you have your journal ready and your pen. And as you see on the worksheet, the first part is extracting your vision. And we're going to move into the vision and your why and your values and so forth. So we're going to start with the vision and to tell you what the difference between visions and goals are. Goals are individual experiences that we set out to achieve and we have these goals. Your vision is bigger picture, right? So it's your life's vision is really what's defining you. It's who you want to be. It's what you want to be known for. You know, it's the set of experiences and accomplishments you aim for. So the vision helps define the goals by giving you that framework to evaluate the goals. So I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to set the timer. And in the question that I'm going to ask, I want you to just write, let your perfectionism, your fears, everything, you can just place them outside of the room that you're in. And I want you to just write as if there's no limitation. There's no money holding you back. There's no fears. There's no time. There's nothing holding you back. And the way I'm going to do this, we're going to start. So have your pen and paper ready. And the first question I'm going to ask you is if you have 2 years to live, someone has just come to you, heaven has just delivered a memo, and it said, you have 2 years to live, and you're not sick, you're nothing, you're healthy, and you can live it vibrantly for 2 years. I want you to start writing. What would you do? And start, if you're feeling stuck, make sure you take a couple of deep breaths in and start writing. Just bullet form, jot form, what would you do? What would you do? You have 2 years to live. What would you do? Where would you go? And it's no accident that we have some sirens here where I am. While it's not an emergency to extract your vision, it's an urgency. If you're stuck in any way, write in the chat box, unmute yourself, but I'm going to keep asking you questions, so keep going. Where would you travel to? Write down the places. Where would you go? Who would you be with? When you get to heaven, what would you have liked to say you have done with your time? keep writing. Whatever comes out, just trust it. Just, we're doing a dump, a vision dump. Let it be messy. Just get it out. When you get to heaven, what would you like to have said that you did with your influence, your gifts, your talents? What kinds of people do you want to be surrounded by? Write their characteristics down. What are they doing with their lives? What do you admire about them? What are their qualities? What foods are you eating? What fun things are you doing? If you're stuck, just keep writing. It's not about getting it perfect. It's about extracting and dumping out onto paper ideas, wisdom. What do you believe you are capable of in life? Write it down. What are the greatest things you could accomplish given the right circumstances, resources, and motivation? Write those down. What do you wish you could change about the world? Write that down. What could you contribute to the world that would make you feel proud and content? Write that down. What top five places would you want to travel to if you had 2 years to live? Do you like the ocean, sunsets? Do you like skiing? What lands attract you? What countries do you feel a pull towards? You have 2 years to live. Where would you go? Here's your chance. You have all the resources. You have everything you need to go. You just have 2 years. What would you want people to say and remember about you? Write that down. What qualities do they admire in you? If someone was to describe you after you left this earth, what were the three top words they would say? She was. He was. I loved this about her. I admired this about him. What would you want to continue? That you created after you leave this earth? What would you want to continue to live? That you created after you leave this earth? What experiences do you want to make sure you've had? What are the bucket list items or experiences that you want to live before you leave this earth? What are the fears you're so proud of that you overcame? What were the challenges and adversities that you are so proud of that you hung in there and you overcame? What were the lessons that took you the longest to learn that you finally learned?
Attention, please. May I have your attention, please? Momentarily, there are going to be several alarms throughout the building.
And there are no mistakes. We've had two alarms on this workshop going on. And I love it because that's the world. Everything's a message for us. And so again, while this is not an emergency, we've had two scenarios from my end that is showing us all that this is an urgency. Our time on earth is limited. We keep living as if we've got so much time, but we don't. We don't have that much time. So who are the people? If you were to have six people that you were told that you could spend that last day on earth with, who are those six people? Write them down. And as you guys heard, she says there's going to be a few alarms going on. So I take this as no mistakes in God's world. And I love it how everything's connected. Just going to give you about 30 more seconds. Feel free to chat, put in the chat box if you're done or you need more time. If you need more time, you can continue this after. You can listen to the recording again and do a deeper layer of this if you need to. Okay. Beautiful. Yeah, urgency. I'm seeing that in the chat box, right? That's the word, urgency. And when you start to live like every day counts, you better believe that the fears start to become very insignificant. So what are the ways, if you have 2 years to live, this is the next question, we're going to walk into what matters now and your why. But I want to ask this question and get the answers to this. If you have 2 years to live, what are the limiting beliefs you would let go of, like a hot potato? Like a hot potato. What would you let go of? What would you finally step into that you've been meaning to step into, but you just think I'll do it tomorrow or when I'm ready or when I have this or when I have that or when I become this? What would you become? Who would you become? Beautiful. Take a deep breath in. Exhale. Next, I want you to start to make a list. Keep just staying in your flow. Make a list of things that matter. So what matters to you? What do you want out of this brief time on the planet? In all areas of your life, But this time I want you to get a little more specific. Keep it really simple but specific. So what matters to you when it comes to how you eat? Write that down. What matters to you about your environment? Write that down. What matters to you in friendship? Write that down. What matters to you in love? What matters to you in exercise, in movement, in self-care? What matters to you in business, in career, in your job? What matters to you? What matters to you in spirituality? What matters to you in your day-to-day life? What's important? Beautiful. Okay, we just have a few more minutes with this section. Take a deep breath in. Exhale. Just going to move into purpose and passion for a second. So what do you love to do? What do you just love to do? What excites you? What brings you joy? What can you talk about nonstop that just makes you, lights you up? It just brings so much light to you and joy, and people are just drawn to you and they can feel that you're fired up. What fires you up? What do you love to do? Write that down. What comes natural? What is so easy for you that you don't even have to think about it? What are you excited about? What are some firsts that you want to experience? What are some firsts that you want to experience? What do you want to experience? doing for the first time. Be with that. Write it down. What's your passion? What are you passionate about? Beautiful. Take a deep breath in. Exhale. Just going to move into your why, and then we're just going to stop and take a break for a second, check in. So again, just let the answers pour out of you. Let the wisdom pour out of you. If you're having an issue or a problem here, just put it in the chat box. If you're doing okay, then just keep going. If you're feeling stuck, you're feeling it, you can't get anything. But just let this all be fun and easy. Just let it be easy. Let it be light. Let it just flow. Stay calm, stay centered, keep your heart open. What is your why? Why do you exist at this time and age? Why are you here? What is your why? What do you stand for? And this has to get you so excited that it gets you out of bed. It's got to be the driving force when the going gets tough, you guys. It's bigger than you. It's the reason that you keep going when you don't think you can. Now, my bigger why when I created CV Skin Labs and my first book was my father. When I couldn't get out of bed in the morning, it's because of him. He had already passed away, and I created my business to honor him. I wanted the world to know who he was. I know how much he suffered through cancer, and I knew millions of other people would be suffering the same way. And because of him, I moved mountains. Because of my why, I had urgency. Because of my why, I had perseverance, tenacity. My why today is I want to be able to go to places like Vietnam and Cambodia and help teach kids about mindset, help teach kids about thinking big. If the only thing that defines us is what we think and what we believe about ourselves, and it's a skill, I want people that don't have access to it around the corner in a library, in a bookstore, through a movie, to have access to it. I don't want people to die not knowing that if they had just thought bigger, they could have different. That's my why today. If I could save people, I could spare them from thinking that they're not enough, and if I could spare them from having them not believe and invest into stories that they don't get to have it because they're different. That's my why. And that has everything to do with my choices of going to exercise and what I do and how I feed my brain and what I, how I spend my time with and what I spend my time doing and investing in. Write that why down. Okay. Good job, you guys. Amazing. So take a deep breath in and exhale. I'd love to hear from you, whoever wants to share, if they want to share what the, how the process was. What you've learned, what you uncovered, what you're surprised by. This was a workout. Yeah. Absolutely. And if you want to unmute yourself, you can as well. Okay. Cried, laughed, many ahas. What were the tears about? What were the tears about? And if you want to unmute yourself, that's totally great, fine. Deb, if you want to unmute yourself, if not, that's fine too.
Hi, yes, I'll unmute myself. So the tears were really just about realizing that I'm worthy, that all of this is possible. And then, you know, when you were asking about the why, my children just came finally popping into my head. It's like, yes, I want to set an example for my children so that they know they're unstoppable, that they can do and have whatever they want in life, that they can dream big. So I know that I have to do that. I have to live big. I have to dream big for them. Mm. So that was huge. That was just huge, a huge breakthrough. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I got goosebumps as you were saying that, and I'm still getting them. And, you know, goosebumps for me are that spiritual confirmation. And it's so true. Like, you guys just have to realize that this dreaming big business is just something you were never taught. It's just, and Deb, thank you for sharing that, because that's your legacy right there. You just defined your legacy. Your children are your legacy. That's the legacy of, you want to leave behind how you lived. You want to create a life right now. Like we are starting fresh right here, right now, y'all. Like, before this call, there was a certain way of living and thinking. And now there's been veils that have been removed. There's limitation that's being dissolved just by you even giving yourself permission to be here and attend and listen and actually take the time to write all of this down. And so things are shifting as you are already, like, you're just, like Deb said too, like, you're seeing that you're worthy. Like, you're starting, do you see how when you start to get into these questions, you start to ask yourself, why don't I want to be seen? Why am I hiding? Why do I feel so fearful all the time? Like, why am I so scared? Like, why? Like, it's because a visioning process is not just, oh, let me have this life, but a visioning process is also giving you, it starts to dissolve fear very quickly. It gets priorities straight very quickly. Very quickly. You don't have time to waste on drama and chaos, and because that's when we have too much time on our hands, ego comes in and it starts to distract you. But when you have, when you put yourself in a position of, I have 2 years to live, what would I do? The first thing that comes up is people get uncomfortable. People are like, oh, what do you mean I have 2 years to live? Like, I don't want to think about that. Like that, it's like you're being forced to give an answer. It's like, because indecision is also a very comfortable place to live, because then you don't have to take action. And a lot of us have been so comfortable in indecision and not being clear. So vagueness is a comfortable place. Indecision is a comfortable place. And that indecision and that vagueness, it starts to rob you of the precious time you have. And then you live in the habit of indecision and unclarity. And then you start to hang out with people that are in indecision and clarity. So then there's no waking you up because everybody's doing the same thing. So you've got to start to wake yourself up through something like this. And then you start to create and build the plan around it. And then you start to attract other people that are starting to say, wait a second, like we don't have all this time. I have a really good friend whose mother just died yesterday, and I was like, holy moly. And I don't know why, but lately I've been wanting to call my mother all the time. There's a shift. Something's happening. I want to listen to her stories because I'm getting into life is now. I don't want to get into, well, I'll go see her in 5 months. What if 5 months doesn't come? For me or for her? Tomorrow is not guaranteed, y'all. It's just not. Today is guaranteed. That's all we have. While I'm not talking about instant gratification, I am talking about the present moment. But we can't live the present moment in a rut. And just in letting, you know, we've got to be intentional. So just like you set an intention for this workshop, you also have to be intentional with your life. What are you saying? What are you talking about? What's coming out of your mouth? What's the intention? Who are you spending your time with? Why are you creating that? What's the intention? And does it serve my vision? Is it aligned with who I want to be, with what I want people to say when I'm gone, with what excites me, with what I want my legacy to be? These are all very important things. And guess what? You have already started becoming familiar with your vision just in this short hour. It doesn't feel so foreign and so out there. We've taken it off the shelf and we've actually put it in front of us, and we're now putting pieces. You've done a vision dump. And the hardest step to anything is the first step. We've done a vision dump. It's all like all the puzzle pieces are on the table. They're not together yet, but they're on the table. Congratulations. This is celebration, you guys. This is celebration. Because you have no idea what God's plan is for you and what happens 10 steps ahead. Who's going to get a diagnosis for what? When are things going to end? When will things arrive? Well, we have no idea when our time is up. And just like we heard an ambulance outside and in my own apartment, they're testing the fire alarms, there's an urgency. Don't wait to tell the people you love, I love them. Don't wait to become who you want to be today. Don't wait to give love to somebody until they give it to you. Don't wait to be you anymore. Don't hide underneath old stories anymore. You don't have time to be in your fears. There's no time. So, I want to give you a 5-minute break to go ahead and do what you need to do. If you need to take a 5-minute break, get a snack, breathe. Any first takeaways on the chat box from this first section outside of what we've talked about? Beautiful. Getting clear. Mm-hmm. Okay. So just set a timer for yourself for 5 minutes, if you're listening to the recording, and just take a taking the time to do this is amazing. And that's another thing. We are so rushed. We are so in so much. This world has us so overwhelmed with so much information, and we think we have, it's the keeping with the Joneses syndrome, the striving, never arriving syndrome, that we don't take the time to do this. Okay. I'll see you all in 4 minutes. A little break. Okay. We're back. Can you hear me? Perfect. I can be heard. Okay. Beautiful. This next section, we're going to change gears. And so that first part, we just did a vision dump. Just put it aside for a moment, you know. We're now going to move into extracting some values. Lessons, life mission, and how to really give yourself the permission to start to access and live and construct this vision. Because a lot of it is a high ceiling. When we start visioning, we get excited because we've accessed that part of us that's truth, that part of us that knows that this is what we're meant to be living, that everything else has just been small thinking and limitation and fear. But then we start to hit a glass ceiling where we're like moving on up and we're like, yes, this is exciting and I'm going to step into this. And then something, you hit a glass ceiling that comes and says, nope. That's not meant for you. That's not what we do in this family system. That's not what we do in this country, or that's not what you do, or that's for other people. They'll come raging out these beliefs and then they'll knock you out. And the way we start to change that is by elevating our permission levels on what we're giving ourselves permission to do. Because there's been unconscious permission levels set in every single one of you. I only have given myself permission to feel this much joy. And once I've hit that quota, I have to do something to feel pain. And you know, if you're relating to any of these on the chat box, just raise your hand. And I remember when I hit a glass ceiling. For me, my father, you know, I come from a wealthy Mexican family, but when we moved to Vancouver, Canada, and I remember my dad losing his their first business that when they moved to Canada, and with his brothers, and he went and became a financial planner. I just remember the year one, and this is the same year I had cancer actually. And my father was he all of a sudden the family business is just dissolving, and I have cancer, and he's got a family to take care of, and I remember him going into finance, and year one, he said to his boss, he's like, can I make, $200,000 in the first year? And the guy goes, well, absolutely, if you put your mind to it. And, so of course my dad exceeded that in his first year, but that's the only story I sort of remember about my father and how much he made in money ever. I mean, I know in Mexico he made more than that and in his business and after that, but that's the one conversation I remember. But guess what? I took that on. I remember when I heard that and I was like, oh, okay, $200,000. And I hit a glass ceiling myself. That was the financial permission level that I'd given. It's like, well, dad made 200 or so. It's the story I told myself at that point. And so that's the glass ceiling that I now put on myself. And I remember when I made 200,000 with Detox Your Life, and it was like there was this glass ceiling that it's like as soon as it would get past it, the year after, there was a glass ceiling, and now being in my fourth year doing this. So it was it's obvious that when you can't, or if it's weight, if you keep losing weight and then coming back to the same weight, there's a belief. And there's a permission. Well, we're going to talk about believing and standards in a minute down in the workshop in the last hour. But for now, it's a permission level. So now I just want to address this whole, we're accessing this amazing vision inside of you, these awesome pearls of wisdom. And so I just seeing, I was raised by farmers. Everything was a lot of hard work and not much money. I still hold that as a belief. Yes, so there's a permission. There's a glass ceiling now about, well, I can only work this hard, or I have to work this hard and I can only make this much. So, but going back to the example of 200,000, it's like you can have an amazing plan to make all this money, but if you haven't given yourself permission and subconsciously you haven't sort of move that glass ceiling, you will subconsciously do everything to not break that. And why do we do that? It's because it doesn't feel safe, because we're wired to fear change, and there's also a primal connection to our family, which is quote unquote our tribe, right? And there's that primal thing with a tribe. And if I were to break $200,000, that means that I'm breaking what I knew that at one point my dad made. And then that would mean what? Maybe that I would be, that that it's past what his success is. And so same with what I'm hearing here. It's still, we have these beliefs. And so we've got to have permission levels broken. And we're going to do that today. But first, I want to start with the values. So now I want you to start getting really clear on your values and how this relates to decision making moving forward. So you all have a link on the worksheet that leads you to a page. If you can open that up. And if you're listening to the recording and you don't have that link, just press pause and get that link, get it up on your screen. So that link, if you have it up on your screen, it's a PDF of values. And so this is an exercise that we're going to do. And so I want you to look at these values. And I want you, I'm going to set a timer. And what we're going to do is read them. And I want you to choose 10 of these values. 10. And they don't have to be right. You can change them after. Just start to go with your gut. What is your gut? With some of these values. So you're going to look at the list. And you're going to go through it and you're going to start writing down as many of those values that you feel connected to. They don't have to be 10 right now. Just go and I'm going to set our timer. So just on that first page. As many of these values that you relate to. Beautiful. It's okay if you're feeling, you know, rushed, you need more time, just press pause. Now I want you to go through these and don't think about it too much. This is very much gut. It's, we get in trouble when we start to overthink what we need our lives to be. That's why the exercise of if I had 2 years to live is so effective because it gets you on purpose very quickly. So again, I want you to break these values, this list that you have, or the ones you circled, or the ones that were meaningful to you, break it down into 10 values. If someone were to describe what's important to you, what would be the top 10 things they would say? Okay. And remember, this is your initial dump. Nothing, perfectionism doesn't have a space here. Your fears, they're all still outside of your door. They're not allowed in here. And this is what we also would call your shitty first draft, right? Like, you just got to get stuff out. This is teaching you how to get into action mode. Like, we start to resist so much of life because it's not perfect. It's not going to be it. It's not going to be, I can't make a decision about what you want my vision to be. We got to start somewhere. So these top 10 values, is there any comments about on the chat box about extracting these? And again, these can change. But these are, at least you've got a starting place with 10. This becomes part of the vision as well, because what you're creating values on, this will be the guiding post on how you make decisions on how you want to build a business, how you want to build your life. In if integrity, you know, some of my values, one of my big values is beauty. And I love being surrounded by beauty. So not only was I in the beauty industry, but I like beautiful clothing. I like beautiful spaces. I like beautiful scenery. I like working, like, you know, flowers. I have flowers delivered every single week, and they're in 7 different places in my home. So beauty is a value of mine. And so it helps me too to make decisions based on, because it's part of the environment where I feel creative and inspired. Integrity is one of my values, right? So it's very quick for me to decide who comes in my life based if I've seen them break integrity a couple of times, I start to make decisions off of that. A way of leading my business. If it's not an integrity, I just don't do it. So it's those values. So it's a starting point. So we extract them. So put those aside now. Now the next 3 little sections, which are your top 3 lessons, life mission and legacy. We're going to do this in a meditation. I don't want you to think about this. This is not a thinking process. This is more a downloading intuitive process. Okay? So I'm going to walk you through a quick 5-minute process where we're just going to get internal again, and we're just going to get still and back in our bodies and our hearts, and we're going to ask our inner wisdom, you know, universe, God, Buddha, that higher force is for you, that higher energy, higher wisdom, higher self usually works well because it's already within you. Okay? Now, these are 3 different questions that I'm going to ask, but they're questions that are the most valuable. And this is another way that you can start to move forward with your life. One of the things that I highly recommend every morning is doing journaling exercises on just asking yourself questions. Because if you were to ask yourself questions, you start breaking a lot of limitations and answering them, because you start to question the status quo, right? The small thinking, the non-visioning, the day-to-day. So I'm going to ask you questions about your lesson. And so just, as you're there, just close your eyes for a minute, because you are going to write. But I'm just going to ground you quickly. Take a deep breath in. Exhale. What have been the top 3 lessons that you have learned up until now in your life? If you were to right now be asked to write a book very quickly, someone saying, "Hi, I need your top 3 lessons in life. Please write a quick little book about it. What's lesson 1, 2, 3? If you have 2 years to live, and you're coming to the last day, and people have gathered around to listen to your life wisdom, and they are coming to listen to your top three biggest lessons in your life, what would they be? Don't think about it too much. What have you been through that's been hard that you've come on the other side? What adversity did you overcome that you learned from? You have three teaching moments of your life that you overcame. What are they? Another way to extract these lessons is to ask yourself, what were the most painful times in my life? What were some of the most painful moments? And who did I become because of them? Another way to extract these lessons is to ask, what is God trying to teach me in this lifetime? Or what has He been trying to teach me? What's my life lesson? What did I come here to learn? And it's not about getting stuck in the right one or that it's trust whatever's coming up. And again, this is our shitty first draft. We're just getting used to getting over being stuck, over getting it perfect. This is just accessing information from the hard drive. Okay, do you have your three lessons? If you're stuck, just let me know. Okay. Moving forward, is there any questions about the lessons? And again, it's the shitty first draft. Just want to make sure if anyone has anything. Let me know if you're good. Okay. So everyone with me here, send me a little message. Okay, top three lessons, beautiful. The next question we're going to ask, higher self, God, the angels, universe. And this is not you thinking about this. You are now letting yourself be a hollow channel for divine messaging. You're asking a question to that switchboard up in heaven, and you're going to get an answer. And the way I want you to do this is to literally have a dialogue with that divine source by asking, what is my life mission? What is my life mission? And the way you're going to do this is you're going to put on the page, me, which is you, semicolon, what is my life mission? And you're going to write, God, universe. And you're going to do what we call automatic writing. And you're going to let the answer come and write it out. And so the example may be, what is my life mission? So the question, what's my life mission? What's my calling? What did I come here to teach? Can be phrased in any of those. And start writing down what comes up. And don't let the conscious mind judge it, edit it, change it. There's no editing. This is just, you're a hollow instrument where divine source is delivering information. Doesn't mean you have to do anything with it. Give yourself permission to receive the information, no matter how big it is. And this is not necessarily going to be paragraphs and paragraphs. It's going to be a sentence or two. Okay, beautiful. If you didn't get anything, that's okay. We're going to move to a second way of asking this question. And this involves you putting the pen down and now asking. The same thing. Put your hand on your heart. Take a deep breath in. Exhale. Empty yourself of your plans, desires, thoughts, preferences, judgment. Become an open vessel and ask, what is my mission? And listen. What did you hear? Does anybody want to type it in the box? And don't be surprised if this scares you and it's big. Because that's how God has and the universe. We've all come with code. Just like, you know, I'm not a techie person at all. But, you know, things have code, right? Like, certain computers, phones, whatever, they have code. And so your mission, you've got code in you. But you've been taught to not access that code and to focus on what others and the world wants from you. And so we're on coding right now. And so if you're getting tired or going unconscious, that's all ego part of, doesn't want you to get clear, right? But a mission is usually really big. And it's scary for people. It's overwhelming. And I remember the first time I heard you're supposed to speak in front of millions. And I edited it down to thousands. I was like, millions? No, that's too big. And I edited it down to I'll speak in front of thousands, but not millions. And I also remember seeing me sort of, it's almost like I ascended from the world, and I heard, you're here to be a leader and to help others lead, to create leaders. And then I started seeing people ascending from the earth up above. And it was like we were flying with eagles. And so your mission may be, you may have heard, to be the light. You may have heard to love myself and teach others how to do that. You may have heard to be joy. You may have heard to break through my money problems and teach others and my kids. You may have heard, I love this, skydiving freedom sports. Interesting. Saw a huge healing retreat, like a big dome surrounded by light. I have goosebumps. So much light will show millions that it is their choice to be in joy. Saw an eagle breaking out of a cloud. You will fly. I mean, this is the type of, I'm getting goosebumps. This is the type of thing I'm talking about. So if you, again, you, this is a recording that you have access to forever, and you can walk through this again. Even though it's not a perfectionism, trust what you got and make a note of it. Make a note of it. Okay? Beautiful. So moving on to legacy. I think you've extracted your legacy already. So don't think about it too much. Pretend that we're in an elevator and I'm just to ask you. Or pretend you're sitting on a flight, first class, and someone says, excuse me, what is your legacy? You're like, legacy? I have a legacy. Keep it simple. What would you want the world to know about you once you leave? That I did what? That I was this way. That I showed up like this. And how will that message be left behind? Don't think about it too much. Just write it down. Part of my legacy was making my father's legacy known with CV Skin Labs in my book. Part of my legacy now is that no matter how many times life has tried to punch me, or all the life on life's terms, adversity, karmas, challenges, I've had cancer, I've been divorced, I've started businesses, healed from an eating disorder, I am sober, I've had 3 miscarriages, I lost my father to cancer. We've all have our list of adversities. But I keep getting up. And I want people to know that they got what it takes inside. All the resources, the people, places, things, situations, everything, the messages, the strength to keep getting back up and becoming who they know they are to become. That no challenge is too strong. And that will be left behind in a legacy of everything I've created. So, but the legacy is short. It's I want people to know that no matter how many things hit them, they don't quit. It's not a license to quit. Okay? Beautiful. Anyone want to put their legacy in there? Okay. And it's okay if you're not sure what it is, you think you know it, you don't know what legacy means. It's okay. Just, again, we're in the shitty first draft. with getting stuff done. You're already on a metaphysical level, removing the sludge. Yes, that you're unstoppable, that you're joy and inspiration. Absolutely. That is your legacy, and that legacy is going to become a marker. So commitment. Let's move on. You're going to learn, you know, how to make the decision today to give yourself permission to commit to your greatness more than to your fear and limitation. So this is where I want you to pull out, again, your pen and paper, and we are going to just do a quick meditation here on breaking permission levels. And this is just a few seconds. We're clearing on the spot. Part of the reason people carry their stuff around is because they don't know how to, they know how to bring it up, but they don't know how to clear it. And so just take a deep breath in for a second. Exhale and repeat after me. I give myself permission to believe in myself. I give myself permission to expand my horizon. I give myself permission to thrive. I give myself permission to take action. I give myself permission to forgive everyone and everything. I give myself permission to love myself. I give myself permission to break my glass ceiling financially. I give myself permission to break my glass ceiling in my health. I give myself permission to break my glass ceiling when it comes to the amount of joy that I allow myself to experience. I give myself permission to break my glass ceiling in what I believe about love. I give myself permission to let go. I give myself permission to be fully alive. I give myself permission to live in my greatness. I give myself permission to be me. I give myself permission to do what matters to me. I give myself permission to break free. I give myself permission to experience joy. I give myself permission to think big. I give myself permission to disappoint people. I give myself permission to do what my heart desires. I give myself permission to live in my full potential. I give myself permission to not judge myself anymore. I give myself permission to be messy. I give myself permission to not have it all figured out. I give myself permission to take the next right action in my vision. I give myself permission to forgive myself. I give myself permission to be happy. I give myself permission to be happy. I give myself permission to be happy, no matter what is going on outside of me. I give myself permission to be happy, no matter what is going on outside of me. I give myself permission to succeed. I give myself permission to make a difference. I give myself permission to be free. Beautiful. Take a deep breath in. Sigh it out. Again. Are you willing to let go? And you don't have to repeat after me, just answer yes or no to yourself. Are you willing to let go of any and all limitation that's standing before you? Past, present, future, in all past lives, future lives, and let it go. Are you willing to no longer rehash old limitations, stories, fears, past, present, future, past lives, future lives, and ever at this time? And repeat after me, I am willing to be willing to step into my vision. I am open to receive all the support from the universe. I am the light of the world. I have a calling. I have a mission. And I'm willing to take the first step to fulfill that vision today. Take a deep breath in. Exhale. Beautiful. Now your first, how was that, first of all? We've sort of broken the word permission, you guys. I want you to understand what permission does. When you say, I give myself permission, is you bypass the conscious and go into the subconscious. It's almost like you tell the ego, that critical voice, you keep telling it to sit aside for a moment, and you almost have this like free pass to rewire your subconscious mind. So we are rewiring and we are dissolving and creating new neural pathways. So the first piece of homework, or, you know, next steps, because you have on your worksheet, at the very bottom on your worksheet, it says next steps. This is your first next step. I want you to create your three power permission statements. Feel free to email them to me and share them. You've got access to emailing it to us through the email. And on the subject line, just put permission statements. And make sure that your permission statements are, I give myself permission to X, Y, and Z. And these permission statements become your gold. they become your rituals. They become the way you start to rewire and prime the mind. And I want you to put them and stay with them, stay intimate with them, and say them as often as you can, morning, night, throughout the day. Okay? The words permission and choose. I choose to be happy despite nothing going my way. I choose to see the upside of this, even though everything's falling apart. It's like the ego relaxes, but instead of, I have to see the upside of this, feel how different that feels. I give myself permission to stay in peace, even though I'm scared. You must stay in peace. I know you're scared, but stay in peace. Very different. They're commands to open up the subconscious. Okay? And that's just it. I love this. Ready to move into a big life. Moving into a big life is just a set of skills that you must learn and practice. That's it. There's nothing else, you know. Why? Because each day you take baby steps, which get you what? Familiar to what? The next step. And then you feel what? Safe. So that's it. I remember when I first discovered the mission about the millions of people, I thought, well, I don't have to be, I'm like, oh, millions, that's scary. And I'm like, no, it's not, because the minute I get to be speaking in front of millions, I would have had to take about 1,000 small steps that led me to that. So by the time I get to that, I will already be familiar with what I'm about to do. It doesn't mean I won't be nervous, right? But I'll be familiar. But from not ever speaking in front of anybody to speaking to millions, that's a big jump. That's scary. But you won't have to worry, because you're never going to have to not do that, not speak to anyone and then speak to millions. You're going to have steps to get you to that. So take the pressure off about what you have to do and perform. Remember, God is 10 steps ahead of you. And he's already talking to people, and he's already setting up the meetings for you and already placing the people in your path that you're going to meet in a year, a month, 5 years. The people that you're looking for are seeking you. So focus. The people that you're seeking are in your vision. They're not in your living in your past and in your fears. Everything you desire is in your vision. Why? Because a vision's been given to you by God. And God doesn't live in the comfort zone. The comfort zone is that of fear, because it's trying to keep you safe, but it's keeping you safe from living your life. Safety now lies in your vision. But how do you break down a vision? You just take the next right step towards your vision, and then you're familiar with that step, and then you take the next right step. Okay? Beautiful. Moving on. Take a deep breath in. Let's cleanse the palate. Beautiful. Great work, you guys. So we've been talking a lot. We're going into part two here. And we've been talking a lot about how the brain perceives change as fearful and as scary and as dangerous. And so what we're going to do here is I'm going to have you, we started talking about permission, and we started talking about familiarity and safety. These are probably the best things you've ever learned. Like, nothing will ever be scary, because you're never going to be asked to take, you know, a leap. You're being asked to take a step. Always. Always, always, always. You're just being asked to take a step. That's your job. It's to get quiet, to get the guidance, and to take the step. That's the formula for life. If you keep that formula, you will continue to stay familiar with your process and safe. So, the next step into this is part two, and we're going to go into the top blocks that are getting in the way of you living in your vision. Okay? And I'm going to read some blocks, and I want you to, again, you're not going to think too much about this. This is a very intuitive, experiential process. You're going to step into this, and you're going to, with your intuition, feel when I'm revealing all these blocks, you're going to see what sparkles and what resonates. When something resonates, that means that the universe is speaking through another person for you. That's a message. So don't think too much. Trust the process. Trust yourself. This is your shitty first draft. We're not creating, we're not going to Congress and passing a law, and it's the beginning of the rest of your life. Okay? It's the beginning of you starting to know what's possible. It's the beginning of extraction and uncovering and lifting the veil. So don't write down the blocks that don't resonate. Only write down the blocks that resonate. Okay? So you're going to have blocks, and I want you to write down your top 6 blocks out of everything I'm going to say right now. So the things that get in the way of stepping into a vision or thinking big or dreaming big or living out the life I desire, what keeps getting in the way is, and if this is you, keep writing them down. I am not committed to my why, but instead I'm committed to my story. I'm more committed to my story than I'm committed to my why and my vision. That's the same one. I just rephrased it. 2, I fear change. I have more faith in fear than I do in the universe. 2, I fear change. I have more faith in fear than I do in the universe. 3, I don't believe I can do it and that it's possible for me. Who am I to do this? 3, I don't believe I can do it and it's possible for me. Who am I to do this? 4, I don't know my calling. And by today, you probably already do a little bit, or you have a hint. I don't know my calling, or if I even have a dream. I don't know my calling, or if I even have a dream. 5, I'm way too distracted. I'm way too distracted. 6, I'm overwhelmed. How do you even do all this? I'm overwhelmed. 7, I keep procrastinating and sabotaging. I keep procrastinating and sabotaging. Only write what feels true to you. Don't think too much about it. 8, I have too much in my current plate. I'm so busy. I don't have time to build a vision. I have to pay bills. I have to take care of kids. I have a job. I'm sick. My mother's sick. Are you kidding? I have way too much on my plate. Visioning is a fantasy. 9, I'm not willing to do the work it takes to have the life I want. I am not willing to do the work it takes to have the life I want. 10, I'm not confident. I don't have the confidence to do that. 11, I can't manage my time. I don't know how to be productive. I cannot manage my time. I cannot focus. I don't know how to be productive. I waste so much time. 12. This all sounds ludicrous to me. People that are around me don't think like this. Everyone's going to tell me I'm so silly. Like, who am I to think like this? My circle of influence thinks small. They're going to tell me I'm crazy. I'm practicing my family's thinking small story. That's my block. 13. I don't think I'm ready. I'm not ready. I gotta lose weight. I gotta grow up. I gotta move. I've got to make this money before I live my vision. I'm not ready. I'm just not ready. 14. I know I have a vision. I know that there's a plan that I can step into. I know I can get support to do it. I'm just not disciplined. I just don't have discipline to become the person that's required to live the life I want. 15. I don't have boundaries. I don't know how to reinforce boundaries. I people please. I don't know how to keep boundaries that contain my energy, my business, my ideas, my personal life. I don't know how to set boundaries. So I'm scared to live in a vision because I have too much. Okay. Take a deep breath in. Exhale. Okay, is there any sharing in the process? Does anybody want to share? You probably related to most of them at some level, no question, but what were your top six? And maybe you wrote 10, so bring it down to 6. Yeah, I had 10, I knew it. Maybe I had 10, yes. And probably, I'm sure everybody related to most of them on some level, right? But what are the top 6? If I were to say to you, I have a magic wand to remove your top 6 blocks, what are they? What are the most that are taking most? It's almost like which ones are killing you the fastest? Which ones are draining your energy the fastest? Which ones are getting in the way? Which ones would give you the most amount of expansion and freedom if you were able to remove? Okay. Again, don't think about it too much. This is an intuitive process. It's the gut instinct. We're getting out of trying to, because while thinking, we need that mind, right, to do and to achieve and create. But you can think your way out of a lot of good things. You can think your way out of a lot of opportunities. You can create excuses in your thinking. And that's what these 15 things are and your top 6 things are. I'm going to change the word from block to excuses, okay? Because we all have fears, all of us, even Beyonce, even, Michael Jordan. Everybody has fears, but their fears, I'm just going to say it like it is. I'm going to simplify it. They're bullshit. They might be real for you, for me, for Michael Jordan, but they're not a good enough reason to stay stuck. Hell to the no. If you were born and you are breathing, you have a purpose. And you are not here on this workshop right now believing that you just heard a nice little workshop and you did a nice little exercise, but this isn't for you. I'm breaking it down to make it so simple to tell you that we give fear too much power. We give our own fears way too much power. They are bullshit. They are no longer, as of this moment right now, they are no longer a good enough reason for you to stay in inaction or to not take action. No way. They can all be overcome. And maybe there was a fear that I didn't mention. Write it there. But there are people that are blind that are doing more things than we are. There are people that are quadriplegics that are doing more things than we are. There are people that are drug addicts that have recovered that are doing more things than people that never had an addiction. There's people that are completely had, I mean, they had the worst upbringing in, they were, you know, in foster homes, adopted 6 times, and they're doing more things than you are. Remember, you're defined by one thing and one thing only, how you think and what you believe about yourself. That's it. Not what your neighbor thinks, not what your mother thinks, your husband, your wife, your daughter, your son, your boss, but what you think about yourself. And they're just mirrors to what you think about yourself. Because when you start to love yourself, when you start to live big and know that you can be a millionaire, being a millionaire is a mindset first. And it's a frequency, and then you attract everything else. So how does a millionaire act? Well, there's rituals and standards that come with that. So we'll talk about that in a sec. But thousands and millions of people have overcome their fears every single day. Why are you the exception? Why are you so terminally unique that you were chosen to not overcome your fears? We are not that special. We're all children of God, and that means we are all entitled to the goodness that He's given us. Everything else we've believed are old stories and lies that at this moment, they're breaking. You don't have to choose to believe them anymore, and you can give yourself permission to believe a new story as of now, right? So having said that, I've had some of these fears too, that I never thought I could do certain things, but guess what I did? I never thought I could travel the world by myself. I never thought I could overcome an eating disorder. I never thought I could get over a divorce. I never thought I could be an entrepreneur. I never thought a lot of things. And look at me now. And look at a lot of people. Look at thousands and millions of people. You are no worse than any of them. You can face your fears, and we're starting now. So here's the deal. Grab your 6 excuses, and I just like to call them excuses because it lightens them. Because a block, we're giving a block way too much power. It's like a block is like this big invisible wall. No, it's an excuse. It's an excuse. Is everyone with me so far? Like, can you guys sort of, you get where I'm going, right? Okay. So let's move to the next part. So part 2 of part 2. With your excuses, what are you afraid of? So let's just take the excuse of lack of confidence. Well, lack of confidence has been the reason why I haven't stepped into my vision or even given myself permission to have a vision or even believe in a vision or even do this kind of work. Okay, well, what am I afraid of? So start asking, okay, so what am I afraid of? If I have lack, well, that I'm not confident. Okay. So what then? What am I afraid of that I'm not confident? Well, that I won't have what it takes to pursue the dream. Okay. Well, what am I afraid of? Well, that what will people think of me? Okay. So what am I afraid of? Well, then I'll be rejected. Okay. So what am I afraid of? Well, that I'm not enough. Okay, well, what am I afraid of? That I'm not enough. Okay. So you're trying to get to the bottom of each excuse. And I'm not enough is an excuse. It's just an excuse that has more power. So I'm just going to give you 5 minutes. Pick your most triggering excuse, the one that feels like the hardest, and start extracting the process. So grab your, maybe it's the boundaries one. So ask yourself, what am I afraid of? Well, I'm afraid to set boundaries. Well, Why am I afraid to say that? Well, what if people don't like me? Okay, well, what am I afraid if people don't like me? Well, then I won't like myself. Wow, that's an eye-opening. I only like myself if people like me? Wow, there's a gap in doing some inner self-love work, because that's the other way around. So I must love myself. And that's a very dangerous place to be, where I rely on you to like me for me to like me. Great. Amazing. We found a loophole. That means that the skill of me loving myself was never taught to me, so I just have to now learn that skill. Woohoo! We don't get into drama or morbid reflection that we were never taught. I mean, there may be feelings, and you're entitled to feel all of them, and I'm all about feeling feelings. But at the same time, I'm about taking the power out of all of this. It's like, not, it's heavy. We make it so heavy. Make it light. I just didn't learn the skill of loving myself. Woohoo! I uncovered this. I now get to learn that skill. Because guess what? All the people that are above, that are before you, what I mean by before you, that have learned how to love themselves, they were just taught that. They were taught that skill. That just means that in my family system, that skill wasn't being taught in that classroom. I attended a different classroom. I was taught the skill, and I was in a classroom of self-rejection. That's what I was taught. So then I just signed up for a new class when I knew that I didn't get the memo on the self-love class. And once I got the memo, I signed up for that class, and I started to learn the skill of self-love, and then I started to practice it. Okay? So what was that for me? You hit it. I'm afraid people won't like me. I have to love myself. Yes! I mean, the biggest, I have to say that one of the biggest blocks is, what will people think of me? Which is, you know, it goes into that, being committed to the story, right? And that's a good one. If you put, what will people think of me as one of your blocks, that goes down with a whole bunch of other excuses. But so grab your most triggering one and break it down, and you're going to find pearls of wisdom as you break it down. If you need help, just unmute yourself or put it in the chat box. And if you're listening to this on the recording and you don't have a chat box to put it into, unmute yourself, just trust yourself. Just keep asking the question. Okay. I now want you to look at your all six excuses and ask you to start writing down what lies you have told yourself about each of them. So, for instance, if I go to, I don't know, I have a calling. So what lies have I told myself about this? Well, maybe I'm not supposed to have a calling. Maybe not everybody has a calling. I just wasn't given one. Maybe I'm not a child of God. Maybe He doesn't care about me. Maybe I'm just the terminally unique one that doesn't have a calling. Write it all down. This is fun, right? Like, we're expelling. It's almost like you're going under the hood and we're taking apart the pieces, right? It's already dissolving stuff. Maybe it's that you're not willing to do the work. And if you said that that was one of your excuses, that you're not willing to do the work, and now a lie you've told yourself is that it's going to be really hard work. And don't get me wrong, to have and create a life you want, it's work. But you don't have to struggle and suffer. You can do hard work and have it be light and flowy and fun. So what lies have you told? Write them all down. Don't think about it too much. Don't get, keep flowing. Keep, we're purging right now too, you guys. So you're purging. You're putting out of you from, you know, pen to paper, from inside you, outside. Okay. So look at each of these excuses and start to now just answer this question. When did I decide to accept this limitation? When did I decide to accept this limitation? And if you don't know, that's okay, but what if you did know? What if you did know when you decided? And maybe for some of you, it'll be very obvious. It was like, yeah, I remember when my dad divorced my mom and I decided, okay, I'm going to close myself up and I'm never going to allow myself to dream big because big dreams get shattered. And maybe you don't remember, but you have a sense of, well, it must have been around here. Doesn't matter. This is our shitty first draft. We're not, this isn't about perfection. Beautiful. Are you with me? Okay, good. So now we're going to, and I know we're doing a lot of intense work, you guys, and I'm going to close it up beautifully. Like, this is, it's great. This is good stuff. So we're going to move into now creating a truth statement. Creating a truth statement. This is different than your power permission statements, but these are now, so I wonder, Deb, do you want to unmute yourself? Will you be a live example for me?
Sure.
Okay. So a truth statement, we're starting to now neutralize. Like, you guys are leaving with action. Not only are you already dissolving the stuff here, but you're leaving with actionable stuff. You're already saying your power permission statements, three of them. You're going to craft them up. With in the I give myself permission to, and you're going to repeat them. The next thing you're going to do is you're going to do your truth statement. And we're going to do an example of one right now. And you can also email me these truth statements, email the team to see if it's they're you know, in alignment. And the truth statements, they're going to start to neutralize the excuse. Okay? So they're going to start to neutralize the excuse. And I'm going to show you that, and just one sec, Deb, here. I'm going to show you that in the release formula, which comes below. But first, we're going to do a truth statement. So what's one of your excuses? Don't you like me calling it excuse, Deb?
Yes, that's great.
That's the truth, because it just takes the power away from this. We give too much power. It's like, it's just an excuse. Okay. So go ahead. What's one of your excuses?
So one of the ones I would like to dissolve is I don't have time.
I don't have time. Beautiful. So how about a true, and again, these don't have to be complicated, long, assembled, taken apart, assembled again, but, you know, frosting on top, maybe sprinkles. No, I don't like that frosting. Let me put a different one. No, none of that. Very simple, very quick, very short. So I don't have time. How about I am in charge of my time and I create time? As easy as that. I am in charge of my time and I create time. Maybe another one would be I don't have money. I am in charge of my financial freedom and I create money when I need it. Very different, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time keeps me in the cycle of small thinking, of no visioning, of survival, of I have no time. Oh my God, there's no time to think about that. Are you kidding? But I'm in charge of my time and I create time. And you know times when time bends for you. Do you not? Have you not gotten ready sometimes? And you're like, oh my God, I don't have 30 minutes. And then you're like feeling aligned, you're centered. And all of a sudden you finish getting ready. And it's like, this is my example, by the way.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you got ready all in 20 minutes. You still have 10 minutes left. It's like, oh. But then when you're rushing and you're in fear and you're overwhelmed and it's like you can't catch your time.
So, Brita, I feel like part of my fear around the time has to do with my age. I'm not young. I'm almost 60. And part of that fear is that I've, you know, wasted a lot of my life or that I just have let my fears run over so I've not stepped into my vision earlier. And now I'm feeling like I'm running out of time. Like literally, like I'm getting old and who the heck am I at 60 to be starting a business and stepping into a vision that's big. And so then, you know what I mean? Like it's the time is more than just like day-to-day time. It's like lifetime time.
Okay, beautiful. So again, are you open and willing to let go of the stories that you've told yourself around time, your age, and what you're here to create on your timeline?
I'm willing to be willing to.
Okay, good. Take a deep breath in. Exhale. Beautiful. So again, this is all a story that feels very charged, right? And very powered. Like it's very, you're telling it with a lot of passion and a lot of, you know, like you want to convince me that I have no time for that and I'm 60, so am I. And like, but I'm not believing you, right? Because who are you not? To at your age, whatever age you think to start, and how do you know if there's a divine timeline and there are no mistakes? That could you be honest with me? Could you have started doing this work any sooner than this moment? Were you ready for it?
No, I don't think so. Otherwise, yeah. I would have been doing it.
Yep. Yeah. If it's meant for you, it will be there if you want it or not. And that includes a man or a woman, whatever. If it's not meant for you, you don't want it anyways. If it's in front of you, so this is when people doubt themselves, when they're in a room with big players or they're in a place like, oh, this job is way beyond, above me. If it's in front of you, it's for you. Stop questioning it. So for you, your truth statement gets to be around all of that. I am at the perfect time, in the perfect space where all the stars have aligned with incredible abundance and an incredible presence of the time with vitality, inspiration, and excitement to build this incredible business. Does that sound very different from the story you told me?
Just a little.
Now, remember, you've just been practicing that story, and I want to remind you of the story of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Adam, do you know that story?
No.
Oh, you don't? Okay, no. Well, Colonel, what was his name? Colonel Sanders. He only got his recipe out when he was 67 or nearly 70. I think it was between those two. I'm going to look it up now because I want to... I'll find it and I'll get the facts straight, but he was 67 or 70. And he kept having his recipe, and he's now long gone, and look at his legacy. Look at Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's all over the world. And this was when he was 67 and 70. So we get so self-centered in the plan. And this is where I highly recommend for everyone listening to get the Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer. And you've got to let go of the grip of your timeline, because that's draining your time. The grip of your timeline is draining the very thing that you're seeking. Loosen the grip and let it go. And we're going to do it through two ways. So one, you'll create your truth statement, which I just gave you an example of. So you can create it and then email it to me. Mm-hmm. And you're going to do this for all your excuses. And these truth statements are going to be the tonic to the toxin of the excuse. So when I have a toxin in my body, I take a tonic to detox it. That's what we're doing here. A truth statement comes from the truth of who you are and the light of who you are and the goodness that you are. An excuse comes from an old limitation, a story, and an excuse. And so I'm going to move to the two release techniques, Deb, but is it clear about building, and that's okay, you still believe in the story, and that's okay, but we're now, you're willing to write a truth statement about it, right?
Right, absolutely.
Right. So let's write those six statements. So for the second piece on your next steps on your worksheet is you're now going to write your truth. Thank you so much. Any other questions, Deb, about that?
No, I'm good. Thank you so much.
Okay. So write your truth statements to neutralize your excuse. And don't get too fancy with them. Keep them simple and keep them in the present moment. Okay? They're affirming the opposite. So if I'm afraid of what we people think of me, I only focus on what I think of myself and what God thinks of me. Because people are going to think what they think anyway. So I might as well drop that heavy weight right now. Because at the end of the day, what only matters is what I think of myself. Because think about it, you guys. When you like who you are, you don't give a shit what anybody thinks of you. It's when you don't like who you are that it matters what everybody thinks of you. So I love myself enough. I practice self-love techniques because the only thing that matters is what I think of myself and what God thinks of me. Because when I think the world of me, I don't care what you think of me. So we know that the deficit is in what I think of myself, if that's your excuse. Okay? So this, you can see how this is a tree, a trunk that's starting to grow branches, right? There's little branches. So this is where your action plan will come in, which is not what this workshop's about, or else it'd be like a 15-hour workshop. This is about extracting your vision and finding out what lights you up and getting addressing the blocks. So your second next step on your when you're got is to go to your truth statement. Okay? So if you look on your worksheet, we're going to move to the release formulas. Okay? And I'm just going to talk a little bit about this. You're going to discover that there's effective ways that you can continue to release what keeps getting in the way. So it doesn't mean just because we brought light to the excuse and we're going to create a truth statement that now it's gone. No, you got to now enroll yourself into the truth class of these and practice them, right? But you also are going to get the help of the universe. The universe is a support system that we don't tap into very often. And so then we think we're all alone, and then more fears grow out of that. And it's bullshit. The universe has your back. Okay? Go read Gabby Bernstein's book, The Universe Has Your Back, if you don't believe that it does. Okay? It's a great book. It's an elementary, pretty intro-based book on that. So the universe has your back. And it also is there to support you. And it's there to support you with things that are hard to let go of. If I were to say to you, hey, stop eating radishes because you're sensitive to them and they're actually giving you leaky gut, you'd be like, okay. But if I say to you, hey, stop eating sugar because it's giving you diabetes, but you're like, well, I'm addicted to sugar, you are going to need support, or you would have stopped it otherwise. Or if you're controlling and you can't let go of control, or if you're a people pleaser, these is what I call things that we need support on. We can't. If you could have let go of all the things that are getting in the way, you would have. So this is where you need to access support from divine source. And they, you know, their army of universe angels have the power to lift things for you that you don't have. Because if you've tried it on your own and you can't, then you need to go another route. And people can only guide you. I'm a guide to guide you to get your guidance system so that you can access that system. I also don't have the power to lift things that you can't let go of. I can give you techniques, processes. I can show you the way. But my job is to get you connected to the guidance system and to get you used to being able to know that there is a divine energy that has the power to remove things that have been hard for you. So sabotaging and believing in excuses to not live out your visions start in the mind, period, right? Just like, again, what defines you, what you think about yourself, and what you believe about yourself. Even though the truth about who you are is different, like if you believe you're not enough and that you'll never be a success, that doesn't mean you're the light and you have everything to be successful. It's defining you because you believe that about yourself. So same with this. Excuses and sabotaging, they start in the mind. So this is where you have the power to stop them in the tracks. Ego attacks in the mind, but unless you give fear permission to enter your mind, it cannot. So it is coming for you, and you know why it's coming for you? Because you have a vision, and ego doesn't come to people that are just watching TV all day long. It comes for people that have loaded vaults. So when we commit to watching our minds and you start to track the excuse showing up that's getting in the way to stepping into your vision, you now have a choice to neutralize it or release it. So you have two options here. And the option on your worksheet, I call this the usual suspect. And the usual suspects pretty much also look to very much like your excuses. All of us have the same 4, 5, 6 usual suspects all our lives. This will probably be an aha for a lot of people. The same things that block you from love or blocking you from your vision or blocking you from everything. How we do anything, we do everything, right? So the usual suspects are what's blocking you, and it's the same commentary that you repeat in and out, day in, day out in your mind, usual suspects. You could choose to think a million other thoughts, but you've chosen to once again today pick up the same thought of, I don't have enough time, I'm old, I don't, who am I to do this? You've chosen that again as your storyline, but you have 99,000 other storylines that you can choose. You can choose Colonel Sanders' storyline of, I'm going to be incredibly wealthy and rich spiritually, mentally, physically, and financially in 5 years. Why can't you choose that storyline? You've chosen the storyline of lack. Of that based on practice, right? So here's where you grab step one. You notice the excuse and the fear. We're going to go along with the I have no time, I'm too old. And it has way more power if it works on you in the background and you believe it as truth. So if you keep hearing that story behind closed doors in the back of your mind, it's going to keep running you. But the power dissolves when you recognize that the usual suspect is there and you're going, aha, there it is. I only have these five or six excuses running through the whole tapestry of my life. It's the same one. Ha, gotcha. For me, it's usually I'm fat, right? I come from an eating disorder. So the minute life gets unmanageable, I'm like, oh my God, I need to lose weight. That's my usual suspect. And it has nothing to do with what I'm doing. I may be planning, to write another book, and because something felt unmanageable, I have to lose weight. It has nothing to do with the book. So it's a usual, it's a ludicrous thing. But the way, I'm just using Deb, the way Deb may act would be, I'm too old. I may say I'm too fat. She may say I'm too old, or I'm not young enough. And someone else may say I'm not tall enough. And someone else may say I'm not smart enough. So do you see how ludicrous this bullshit is? It's like, it's all about writing a book. It gets scary and overwhelming. And I go into my usual suspect. You go into your usual suspect. He goes into his usual suspect. And unless you break the cycle with the usual suspect, they are going to continue to be your usual suspect. So, the key here is not to agree with it anymore. So, Deb, every time I'm too old, or I'm too fat or I don't know enough, or I don't have this, who am I to do this, or what will people think of me? You don't agree with it. You have an answer for the excuse and the fear beforehand. You anticipate it. When the fear crops up, talk back to it with your truth statement. No, I'm choosing to believe that I'm going to be rich and wealthy, financially, mentally, spiritually healthy, in that my 50s or my 60s are going to be the most abundant and the years where I'm the most present, and I feel the most joy, and I'm serving with my gifts in the world. Imagine if every single time the excuse came up, you were committed to saying, no, I'm not agreeing with that. This is what I am agreeing today. If you give in, that's okay. Like, this is not a judging thing. But recognize that you're giving in to the lame excuse. That's step two, right? And I'm calling it how it is. There are lame excuses anymore. You guys are world changers. If you're listening to this, you're a world changer. And again, you don't have to go change the world from where you are today. You just have to take a step. And your world-changing dream is different than your neighbor's world-changing dream. And if you're also listening to this, you're ready for this. If it's for you, it's in front of you. So going back to step two, if you give in, that's okay, but recognize that you're giving in to a lame excuse, old fear, and that now you know it is only trying to keep you small. So beware of what you're doing, because it no longer has the power. You have the power now. Your vision has the power. Number three, if you give in, do not beat yourself up. Instead, see what the results are. Are you happier? Is your life better? Right? Was it worth it that you gave in to the discomfort of saying a truth? Instead, you said, yeah, I'm too old. Was it worth it that you gave into it? Then you ended up going back home and eating a pint of ice cream or you got in a fight with your wife? Or was it worth it to give into that excuse? Learn from it. Learn from this. Let everything become a classroom. And if you push through and are happy about it, then remember that. And if you gave in to the excuse and didn't like the result, remember that too. But be gentle as you work through this and be prepared to see the miracle. So number three on your next step at the bottom of your worksheet is to start practicing one of these release techniques. You have two. We've gone through one. The other one is just as, it's different, but you're going to resonate to one or the other. The other one involves using the universe. So take, they're simple, adopt one, choose one, and practice it. Practice it. Any questions on this? Okay. So, let's move on. Amazing. You guys are doing such amazing work. I know that this is a little bit, it's intense and it's uncomfortable. And so let's just cleanse the palate and take a deep breath in. Exhale. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, we're going to go now into part three. Okay, and a lot of this is going to be part of your next steps. And so on your worksheet, we are now, it's about building confidence and learning to believe that you can. So I know that this, we're into hour three already, we're behind a little bit, but one of the next exercises that we're going to do is, again, just, and we'll be done in about 20 minutes here, so we're doing amazing work, so you'll have a little bit of a break. And of course, if you need a break and you're listening to the recording, go ahead and press pause and then come back. And so we're now going to work on building your belief muscles and your confidence muscles. So you're going to start to learn how to believe in yourself and your vision and how to build the confidence to take action in your vision. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about this. You know, we truly do act out of who we believe we are, right? We have a need to stay consistent with who we believe we are. So if you believe you're an athlete, right, you're going to stay consistent. Your rituals, your standards are going to stay consistent with that. You're going to get up, you're going to work out, you're going to eat certain foods, you're going to dress a certain way, like, and your body's going to follow suit because you believe you're an athlete. But if you believe you're never going to be thin, that comes with certain ways of being that, well, why bother working out? I'm never going to be thin anyways. Or, well, who cares? I keep gaining weight, so why should I eat well anyway? And so you hit the snooze button, you miss your workouts. So I really want you guys to be clear that you are always consistent with who you believe you are, okay? And so it really comes down to starting to shift who you believe you are. So it's not about changing your identity, or, you know, but it's about expanding who you believe you are. So identify yourself in a new way, and then you want to own that every day. And that's what we've started doing already with your permission statement and your truth statement. We've started to identify, hey, I don't want to be the woman. I'm going back to the same example that Deb did for us. I don't want to be the woman that continues to think that there's not enough time and I'm too old and who am I? I'm going to expand my identity to change it to be that of everything is possible in my 50s and my 60s. I actually achieved the peak of my life and my success and my joy in my 50s and 60s. So I'm expanding my identity, right? So identify yourself in a new way and then create rituals and own that every single way. You know, most people's standards are way too small. And if you're listening and you're here, most likely your standards around your vision and the life you can have been very small. And that's not about beating yourself up or judging yourself. It's just a fact. You're here to change it. So situations also make you raise your standards, right? Very quickly. Illness, divorce, lost, for instance, my standards around my mom and our relationship were that I call her once a week to check in. And that's just what I do. And the standards for, you know, now that my friend's friend died, changed. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, wow. Like, it got me really clear about family and mom. I mean, I've lost my dad already, so I've been faced with the possibility of mortality of mom. But it's changed my standards, and now my rituals are changing. I now call my mom almost every day. And so situations will also cause you to change. But you can also choose to change their standards and not have a certain situation raise them. So it is about choosing those that are the real. So once you have those standards, once you change the identity, it's about creating winning rituals that match those specific standards, right? So rituals are power. They are what define us. We call this in our Detox the Destiny program a destiny foundation and a destiny morning, because it's those rituals that give you the discipline, and they give you the they start giving habits, and they start to be congruent with who you believe you are. So if you believe that your best years will be in your 50s and 60s, you're going to start taking action and rituals that match that, that are consistent with that. So what are the daily rituals of the person that you need to become to have your vision? Right? So that's a question that I want you to walk away with. And this is more of an action plan after this workshop. But what are the rituals of the person you need to become to have this vision? Make a list of them. Make a list of them and choose one or two. That's it. Start with one or two and start applying it. So an example, let's go back to the weight thing. If you believe that I'm declaring that I'm a person that has energy, then you're going to do the things that give you energy. You're going to think the thoughts that give you energy. You're going to eat the foods that give you energy. You're going to do rituals that give you energy, exercise. But if you're someone that's always exhausted and you believe that's who you are, you're going to think exhausting thoughts. You're going to do things that make you feel exhausted. You're going to hang out with people that make you feel exhausted. So do you see how this is everything? So success and failure are not main events, you guys. They happen one action at a time. A vision doesn't get built in one night. It happens one action at a time and one belief at a time. So success is having a vision, and it's making it compelling, it and it's seeing every day. And it starts with what are your standards and what are your truth statements, and releasing everything else that's getting in the way, right? So right now I'm just going to set a timer. So that's part of your next step. And so it's now going to, we're going to set 5 minutes, and I want you guys, we're going to build evidence here, okay? And so we're building evidence on things that you have done in the past that you never thought you could, that you have done. So what have you thought you never could do? Like I mentioned earlier, I never thought I could be an entrepreneur, and I did. I never thought I could divorce and be alone, and I did. I never thought I would survive my father's death, and I did. I never thought I would be able to not be engaged in an eating disorder, and I did. I never thought I would be able to go out without drinking and have fun, and I do. So what is a list of all the things you never thought you would be able to do that you have done? This is called how to raise your believability factor. You're looking for all the things that at once you never thought you could, and you're building evidence like an attorney. You're building evidence. You're building a case. Look, I've been able to get through that and through that and through that and through the other part. I know I got through that and that and that. Why would I not get through anything else? Why? So take 5 minutes. I'm going to set a timer and just take 5 minutes right now to make a list, find evidence of all the things you never believed you could get through and you did. Go. Beautiful. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. You're doing great. You're building evidence and all the things. All right, you guys, so keep building evidence. So this is another step that I'm going to have you continue, because we're nearly done here, is to continue to building this evidence list. Okay, so that's on your worksheet there. So continue building this evidence of all the things you've ever, that you've done, that you never thought you could get over. It's like you're an attorney, you're building your case. And I want you to continue to give this list, you want to refer to it very often, because it's the list that when you never thought you could do something, you did it. And it's like gives you a little bit of oomph and power and inspiration and motivation. So all of this works together, right? And it's an excellent way to build the believability muscle. The second way to believe, to build your believability muscle, and again, there's that quote on your worksheet, when you believe you can, you can. So you want to go through these steps that are also below here on this worksheet to amp up your belief that you can step into your vision, purposeful work, your passions, whatever you want, right? So this will be part of your next step. It's recognize that it's possible for you to live out your dreams and doing what you love. You're just going to write on this. And number two, you're going to accept that it's possible for you. You're going to, this is a perfect exercise that you can apply to anything that you don't believe you can do. Anything that you don't believe you can do. If you don't believe you can write a book, you're going to walk through these steps. So these are two incredible exercises to help you build your believability factor. And so take the time to do this. So this will be part three. And we're coming to the end here of this incredible workshop here. And so I'm just going to reiterate what the next steps are here for you. So the next steps is you're going to do your power permission statements, and you're going to say them every day, because you are going, you're bypassing the conscious mind, and you are giving it an open path to rewire the subconscious by using the word permission. Then you're going to finish your truth statements, and you are going to then practice them. You're going to choose one of the release techniques and practice negating the usual suspect of your six excuses. And you're going to deliver it with some truth. And the truth itself is going to start to dissolve this. You commit to this, these steps in 2 weeks. You email us and you let us know how incredible this, because it will change you. Number four, you're going to ask yourself, what are the rituals of the person that I need to become for the vision I have for my life? So you need to become a certain person, right? And who is that person? That's that whole thing we talked about, standards. Like, what are my standards? And my standards are based upon who I believe I think I am. And so you can now change your standards, which we talked about how Deb could change her standards based on saying the 50s and 60s are going to be the best years of my life. They're going to be the years where I feel the most joy, where I fall in love and experience wild love, where I'm so abundant in every sense of the word. That's changing the standards. And now she's going to make a list of rituals that she's got to step into to become the person to live in that. Right? So, and then last but not least, you're going to finish your evidence exercise, and you're going to run through your believability exercise. So again, the intention of this workshop was to help you unleash your vision, get in touch with what lights you up, start to look at what blocks are getting in the way in business and in life vision, and start to learn how to dissolve them. Outside of that little homework that I've given you, and please go ahead and do it, the next steps are on part one, when we just put the whole puzzle on the table and all the pieces are everywhere. Then one of your last next steps actions are is to build a vision board based on what you just came out, what you just brought out. Okay, so you want to build a vision board based on what you just brought out. And I'll tell you why, because a vision board is going to start to connect you and make this cohesive into a thing that you can see every day, feel every day, and get intimate with every day. Because once it's on your wall, you are getting what? Familiar with it. And when you get familiar with it, you then what? Start to feel safe with it. And when you feel safe with it, then you what? You step into it and you accept it. You do that along with your power permission statements. You negate the excuses with your truth statements. You start to create some rituals with who the person needs to be. And you start and you do the believability exercise. You're already on your way. Already on your way, right? Now, the next steps would be to build an action plan around this vision once you've done all this. And that's where you do want to find a mentor, a community to support you in every sense of the word. And we have a great community called Detox to Destiny. And we do it in a 12-month program where we do exactly that. We help you start to build, take action on that. But that's not today's business for you all. You've got some homework to do. You've got some next steps to do. You've got you've got this. So build your vision board. Don't be the one that decides not to follow through. Follow through. You do the work. You get the results. That's just how it goes. And this was just the very beginning of it, giving you a taste of what's possible. But where the real work comes is in the practice of it all. So practice releasing the usual suspects now and practice stating your truth statement. Practice following through by doing the vision board. Practice your rewiring by the power permission statement. And keep taking action. So I'd love to hear from you if you had any takeaways. We are 3 hours and 5 minutes into this. So thank you that we're a little bit past that. But any takeaways from this? Any questions? Again, feel free to definitely email and let us know what you think of this. If you're needing support with next steps and implementing all this into an action plan, we're here for you. You can talk to me or one of the coaches in the Detox Your Life team. And we've seen many people go through the programs and really living lives where their fear is no longer dominating them, and they're breaking through their glass ceilings, and they're starting to live a life of possibility. And now, I'm not saying fear is not a factor anymore, but it's no longer paralyzing people to not take action, right? So you are so worth it. You so deserve it. Remember, you know, my biggest takeaways right now is that this is just a skill, that you need to just practice, that you need to change and believe who you are. And you don't need to change your identity. Remember that. You just need to expand it and have new standards and then practice based on that. So I love you all, and amazing, eye-opening. I already have pictures to put on my vision board. Can't wait to get started on this. Woohoo. Thank you so much. Thank you, Deb, for speaking and sharing so candidly. And yes, I look forward to hearing from all of you. And it's never too late, and you choose what you believe about yourself today. So you can choose to be Colonel Sanders and make up, you know, and not give up and not have anything outside of you define you. There is no mistakes in God's world. You're exactly where you're meant to be. You're exactly in this place right now because you're meant to be hearing this. And I believe that if you haven't done what you're meant to do, it's because you weren't ready to do it. There wasn't enough resources, messages, lessons that had happened yet. Or you haven't met the people that are going to help you do it. So trust, keep on saying the statement, I choose to have faith in, I choose to put my faith in love and in the universe, and I choose to release my faith in fear. Like, you choose to grow your faith. And here's two things that I'll share with you that are my blocks, and I'll end with this. I get in trouble when I do two things. One is when I stop trusting God, because then I go into control mode and I think that I have to handle it all. That's one of my excuses. Oh, God's not showing up for me. And it is an excuse, because it's a lame one, because I've had much evidence in life of how much the universe has had my back in a million ways. And I believe that I'm living on borrowed time, both from having cancer and from being, sober. There's things that I've done that I shouldn't be alive in. So there's been an energy working and looking out for me. And the second thing where I get in trouble is when I go into thinking that everybody else has it figured out. And that's BS. That's bullshit. Nobody has it figured out. If you are on this earth, you are actually all working on figuring out. Even Beyonce is still figuring it out. Look at celebrities that are killing themselves. We think they've got it figured out, and then we find out that they hung themselves, or they're a drug addict, or you think that your, neighbor who has the white picket fence has it figured out, and then we know that her, the husband's embezzling money and is going to prison. Nobody has it figured out. Nobody. Because every time we think we have it figured out, we think we know the plan. And if we think we've got it figured out, we've got another thing coming, because we don't. Because then illness will show up, and life, adversity will show up, and another challenge will show up, and something else will show up, and we don't know what's coming down the pipeline. That's why we must strengthen our relationship with the universe and with God, and we must stop comparing and despairing and thinking that everybody else has it. They that you missed the memo and they got the memo. Nobody got a memo. Everybody's looking for the memo every day. You only have today, and while it's not an emergency, it's an urgency. So I urge you to finish this work. Be the person that commits to following through on your next steps. And I'd love to hear from you guys. I love you. Thank you for showing up for yourself today. And don't underestimate the work that you've already done today to let go of so much that was in the way. Just by showing up, all the releasing we've done, you've done so much. So thank you all. Love you. And I will see you soon.